Heavenly Father, please open our eyes to see you this morning. Open our hearts to hear you and to feel you and to understand you. Pray that you would speak to us this morning, that we would hear your words. And I pray for the courage for all of us to take your scriptures, to take your words, and to put them into our own lives the way that you call us to. Amen. I don't know if anybody remembers what was Prot last week or not. I know we had struggles with that word last week, teached and taught, preached and Prot. But I was just thankful Brand could explain it. I was kind of surprised the teacher didn't stand up and say something. But 3 weeks ago, I'm not going to ask you to remember 3 weeks ago, even though you should. But I had somebody give me a talk when I mentioned even 2 weeks ago, you know, you can't expect us to remember 2 weeks ago, and I can't. I've got it on paper, and I'm sure Charlene could tell me what we talked about 3 weeks ago because she takes notes. 3 weeks ago, we looked at our need to be led by God. Do you guys remember that? You remember my kind of a personal testimony in my life and leading me in Malone College in life and my fighting God's I was fighting God leading me, and God was saying, "How I'm going to close all these doors, and I'm just going to make one way for you to go." And until, you know, and the way that my life had changed when I finally embraced God's desire and my need to have Him lead me. And 2 weeks ago, the sermon was, to be led by God means recognizing His worth. You guys remember we looked at the true story of Tulip Mania, which was really crazy. And we looked at the story of the rich young man in the Bible and the pearl of great price and how the rich young man did not actually realize the worth of Jesus because he was holding all of his possessions, all of his worth, to be greater than that of Christ. What the truth of it is, he was holding something along the currency of a tulip bulb compared to Jesus, who holds the ultimate treasure. And last week, what did we brought? Understanding His worth, okay, recognizing God's worth. 2 weeks ago, we looked at to be led means recognizing God's worth. Last week, we looked at recognizing God's worth. I'm sorry, what? Recognizing God's worth means, what about Peter? Peter, who, when he recognized Jesus as the Messiah, what was his response? "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner." Recognizing God's worth means being faced with our own, being faced with who we really are, right? When your hearts are open, and why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. The light has come into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But Jesus brings all of our darkness into the light. And so when your heart becomes open to Christ, as Peter's did, all of his darkness became real to him. He was suddenly very, very aware of his sinful nature, very well, very aware of who he was. And we looked at Paul and Peter. Paul, we looked in Philippians and how not only did he teach that I count everything as loss compared to Christ, but he also talked about everything that he had gained and all the things that he could have, and you know, in the world's eyes, given himself worth, and saying that there is nothing that can give you worth outside of Jesus Christ. And we looked at Peter, who recognized Jesus when he was brought into the light and his darkness was exposed. And Jesus' response when Peter said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinner," because that's our immediate response is when all of our sin comes up, we're, "Look away, I'm hideous." Jesus' response was, "Do not be afraid." In John chapter 3:17, which is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, right after John 3:16, and we don't actually read on usually. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The last few weeks, we've just been talking about being led by God and some of the things that when you find yourself actually being able to be led by God, these are the things that you're faced with. You recognize God's worth and God can lead you because you will only follow what is most valuable to you. When the rubber hits the road, when you hit that persecution, if Christ is not worth more than your worldly life, you will choose the world. To be led by God is such an important thing in our lives. Why? Because there is a lie that the world has been trying to teach us. And ever since the beginning, ever since the garden when the serpent came, what was the point of that? There's another way. There's another way. There is another way. And it's a lie that the world has been trying to teach us over and over and over. Hey, Nathan, there's another way. And you know what it does? It dilutes Christ to me. It dilutes this man. Yes, he's a wonderful man who gave his life for me, but when we start feeling that there could be another way or Christ is, or something, bless you, something else in our life is more important than Christ, when we actually look at our lives. I was looking at Timothy this week and he said that you got to look at your life. You got to look at your life. You got to keep your life out there, Timothy, so you can keep an account of yourself so that you don't get lost. You don't get lost in the world and all these other doctrines and things preached at you. What happens when we understand and we're convicted that we need God to lead us and we recognize His worth and He can actually lead us and that there's nothing else that compares to Christ and we open our hearts to the light of the world and we recognize our darkness and who we are outside of Christ, what happens next? Something else happens. When we recognize God's worth, we're faced with our own worth. And when we are faced with our own worth, we need to recognize our helpless estate. We need to recognize who we are compared to Christ. If we can truly grasp the measure of the power and our desperate need, it's not just a need, we're dead without Him. We have no life without Him, and the world is trying to teach us that we do. That it's okay. I want to read out of Revelation. I've been reading the book of Revelation the last week, and I read part of it this morning when we did the Revelation song because it helps bring into light what that song is about. But this book really helps bring into light who Jesus Christ really is. Not just the man, Jesus Christ. Not just the man who we look at Christ, yes, King of Kings, and I think if He's King over all the earth, oh, it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. Let's start in chapter 4, and we'll go ahead and finish the Bible. I'm just kidding. I'd like to, because it's really that good, if you've never finished it before. Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. This is John. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the thrones came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox, and the third had the face of a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne. And they worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." chapter 5, the scroll and the Lamb. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept, and I wept, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. All right. And John has been given this vision and understanding so that he could know and so that he could let his brothers and sisters know what is to come. The understanding that John is hit with in chapter 5 is the reality of the power of Jesus Christ and his helpless estate, because there's this scroll that has to be opened. The weight of this scroll is the final battle, the end times. If nobody can open the scroll, God can't harvest his people. If nobody can open the scroll, all is lost. And John begins to weep, and he begins to weep, and he begins to realize how helpless he is, because here he is in this heavenly realm. 24 elders and angels all around. The one who sits on the throne in his glory. I mean, we're talking about rainbows and lightning and thunder and awesomeness. And he's like, "Whoa, this is so great." And in all of that wonderful glory, nobody can open the scroll. And he begins to realize, we're doomed. But then the angel says, "Wait, see? The Lion of Judah from the tribe of David, he has conquered and he can open the scroll." We need to understand who Jesus is to the best of our ability. Not just this man. Not just the man that we think of who came and did little tiny miracles here and there and died on the cross, but Jesus Christ was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through the Word God made all things. And then the Word became flesh. So this Jesus, this picture of this man that I have, is so much bigger than that. Jesus, before he was Jesus, was the Word. It's like he's the most powerful part of God, the part through which God made everything. And because God made everything through the Word, through Jesus, when everything went awry, when everything was headed for doom, what happened? The Word said, "Make me flesh. I got to be flesh. I got to get down there and I got to save what you made through me." And so the Word, this awesome, powerful God became like us. And that's where we get confused, because we see a man like us. Yeah, he is like us. Jesus Christ was like us, but we got to wrap our minds around such a bigger picture than that. When we start comparing, thinking of Jesus as a man and stop thinking of him as God, we start elevating ourselves, don't we? And the world says, there's another way. He was just a man. He was just a man. There's other ways. Be good. Just be good. Be good and you'll make it, right? Live a good life and you'll be okay, right? Just don't make any waves and you're fine. So we've got the Word who became flesh in Jesus, and then to help us get our mind wrapped around this even more, we've got this book of Revelation that talks about this heavenly realm, and here's all these 24 elders who lay their crowns down before him who sits on the throne, God, and worship him day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they're worshiping him, and there's angels, 1,000 angels, 10 times 10,000 angels worshiping God up in heaven. And we're talking about all this. I mean, it's so hard to picture. You've got these heavenly beings that with eyes all over and wings and different heads and faces and things, and just, it's really cool. And then to have all of this, all of these people that would just blow us away, and to have this scroll that nobody can open. And the world tells us we don't need Jesus because he was just a man. But we're not that different from him. We're made in God's image, right? Isn't that right? We're made in God's image. But Jesus is so much bigger, and he's so much more powerful. And when we actually start to see who Jesus is, I start to see who I am. And this big bulb up here starts to go tss, and it comes down, you know, I'm like a shrunken-headed man. And I realize who Jesus really is, the Word who was with God, through which God made everything, through which God saved everything he made that was willing to be reconciled, and through which God can open the scroll, through which God actually does conquer Satan. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, God would not have conquered. Jesus had not given himself as that sacrifice and raised again. Just the man who died on the cross, right? I don't think so. I don't think so. When you recognize, when you begin to realize the awesome power of who Jesus Christ really is, and he's inside you. There's this song that's on a jungle jam that we listen to, and it's this little girl singing, asking Jesus questions. When you sneeze, do I blow apart? Would I blow apart if you sneezed? Yeah, you would. Good thing Jesus doesn't have to sneeze. He doesn't get allergies. He's perfect. Good thing. We need to start seeking who this Jesus really is, not who the world portrays him to be, or just on a personal level, but personally, yes, we have this awesome relationship with Jesus Christ, but outside of that, start reading Revelation. Get into John chapter 1. Understand where Jesus was before he was Jesus. Get into Revelation, understand who Jesus is after he was a man who died on the cross for you. The one who saves you. We need to realize the weight and the matter of our helpless estate. All is lost without Jesus. Okay? And the world is going to do its best your whole life to tell you that there's another way. There is no plan B. You guys understand that? There is no plan B. There is no other way. There is no one else, no other being on earth, no other being in heaven, and no other being under the earth that can open the scroll. There is no other way. There is only Jesus Christ. Only the Lion of Judah, by the power of his sacrifice and resurrected life, can save you. take that awesome God that we're starting to get our minds wrapped around and understand that He died for you. Understand that He came down to fix, to be sacrificed and to die, and know that people are not going to revere Him as God. And know that people are not going to seek to understand who He really is. And to know that when we invite Him into our hearts, we take Him and sometimes we say, okay, I'm going to put You over here. And here's this awesome, powerful being who is above all heaven and above all earth and above all that is under the earth. And we're telling Him what to do. Praise God that Jesus, praise God that Jesus came for us, because I'm sure Jesus is up there holding back the Lord's arm. Saying, don't smite him. Don't smite Nathan McCracken. I died for him. Because he knows I deserve it. We need to understand who we are in God, who we are in Christ. Jesus gave his life for me. I did not deserve it in any way. I cannot earn it in any way. You as well as I are helpless, hopeless sinners, dead in our lives without Jesus Christ, and that is the truth. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This week, seek who Jesus really is. Sometimes it's scary. It's scary because it brings your darkness into the light. It brings all of the things that we work so hard to cover up. You know, it brings them back out in the open. Like, I worked hard to plant flowers over in that area, and here's God with a shovel digging it up. You seek Jesus, He'll bring your darkness into light. But don't be afraid, because He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you and make you a new creation. This awesome, powerful God. Continue to seek Him in His life. And when you understand all of those things, God can lead you in so many awesome ways. Do you think Paul understood? Do you think Peter understood? Human, just like you and me, but willing. Willing to be led where most people aren't willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as You lead us this week, I pray that You would open our hearts, open our minds to begin to understand who the Word was that became flesh, and Jesus Christ, who is our present living Savior, and who is the one who the only one who has the power to open the scroll, the only one to send Satan to destroy him. Power over everything in heaven and earth. King of all kings. All the kings that Revelation talks about, all those demonic kings and all the heavenly kings, and every single king, He is King of kings. And He is Lord of lords. Let this become a reality in our hearts. Amen.